or I don't know. Uh-huh. But you may have to pierce the hole. Some seeds you do.
Uh-huh.
Some seeds you have to make.
Did you, oh, you just reminded me of something, too, that's a cutie right in this, too. Did you ever play with chameleons? You make
yes,
fun with
some of our children used to put a little chain or a string on them and then fasten it to that chameleon and let it wear it as an ornament. You
did
know?
You ever put them on your ears?
I'm frightened to death of those things.
Oh.
I can't stand them.
My mama used to tell me about going out to Garnet's, you know, Garnet's old orange grove.
No, I don't.
You know where the Holiday Inn is up U.S. 1 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Before they cut that, that was a whole orange grove in
yeah.
there, and it belonged to a man named Garnet
yeah.
in the early 20th century. So Mama, for years, always called that Garnet's Old Orange Grove. But that's how the kids made money to go to the movies in the teens and the 20s. Oh, it's in my pocket. God, I nearly had a heart attack. My ring wasn't on. They would go out, and they would pick violets or something, and they would sell them to the tourists coming through in the carriages. And I asked Haynes Grant about that one day, and he said they used to make money by catching chameleons. And you catch two chameleons, and, you know, if a chameleon doesn't have something to put his feet on, he holds on with his mouth, right?
Oh.
So you take him and hold him underneath and turn him feet out, and you can get him to grab onto your ear. And they'd stand there with two chameleons like earrings, and the tourists thought this was such a terrific thing, they'd throw money at them. And this is how the kids would earn money to go to the movies.
I love it.
Would you sell 4 o'clock seeds in St. George
Street? Yeah, we used to sell 4 o'clock seeds.
Ah!
Did I say George Street?
There you go.
4 o'clock
flowers, yeah. Yeah. Hey, we've already had this discussion.
We've already had this discussion, yes.
The women are starting to run St. Augustine, and we love it.
My father.
My father had a grist mill
where he ground corn and a sawmill where he sawed lumber, and he also made caskets, and I lined the caskets and he made the outside and put the handles on it, and he had a cotton gin where we gin cotton. I made beds and I made, you know, that cotton, you know, put the ticks on them. And
wait a minute, you didn't ever collect moss and make moss, use moss as filler for
no, but I saw people who did. I had an aunt and uncle who made the moss mattresses, but we had cotton up there in Alabama, and everybody made cotton mattresses better than store-bought. And
but do you know the process for using that, for making it out of moss?
Now, they had to let that moss dry because they used the inside of that moss.
Did they boil it first?
They may have heated it. I don't know because I never did that.
All right. But I have seen a couple of photographs of it. And
well, you know,
I
they used
the fiber core that's in the center.
Yes,
that's
black.
Well, you know, most any time takes probably within the next hour and a half.
That's the only man that's worked all day at his craft.
Oh, God, that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. All right, are you going over there now or when are you going?
When you had it, you come over.
Okay, because you're going to stay there and demonstrate
yes,
for a while?
Yes.
I'll come let you know when I'm ready. Good. That sounds terrific.
That man has worked at his craft all day.
Trimming those coquina blocks? I know it.
If you want to teach the little ones, there's a wee little man, a wee little house just over the way you see. And he sits by the window and he sews all the day, making shoes for you and me. A rap-a-tap-a-tap, rap-a-tap-a-tap, hammer tick-tack-tee. A rap-a-tap-a-tap, rap-a-tap-a-tap, shoes for you and me. Puts his needle in and out, his thread flies through and fro. It's tiny, all he bores a hole. You know what I'm all?
Yep.
And the hammer goes busy blow. Rap-a-tap-a-tap. Kids love these motions. Rap-a-tap-a-tap. Hammer tick-tack-tee. Rap-a-tap-a-tap. Rap-a-tap-a-tap. Shoot for you and me. And they never forget those.
Yeah.
The small children really go.
Esther used to do one about a little bluebird, and she'd stick pieces of paper on her fingers, and she could make, she'd say, "Fly away, bluebird," and the piece of paper would move, and I always thought that was such magic. I never figured out how she did that, and that piece of paper went wherever she wanted it to. And Mama did one about the church, going into the
yeah.
church,
oh, no. the steeple,
and go inside and see all the people. That's right. And then you did the little teapot.
Oh,
I was a little teapot for years.
Yeah.
Kids love motions.
Yeah, the water spout. Yeah. That's right.
And, yeah, really, we're into all those right now.
That's a spider on a mirror.
Right.
Push-ups.
That's right.
Spider doing push-ups on a mirror.
Right.
My son came home and said, "Dad, what's this?" I said, I don't know either, but here comes another one.
There you go. All right. And what's this? It's this dead. No. It's this dead.
Sandra's father plays the piano a lot, you know, for us.
I know.
And he can play, I think, just anything. He's played at our meetings a lot.
He sings for the Dixie Darlings.
The Dixie Darlings. That's a cutie.
My father is a local character.
Yes.
What's his name? Richard Parks.
Dick Parks.
Everybody knows him as Dick Parks.
He's been on the county commission since...
Since
1959.
He should stay there a lot.
They asked me on the radio whether I thought there was a Parks dynasty. I said, well, you really have to look out for Phoebe. She's Lana's 2-year-old.
Okay. And my middle name is Duvalier. Yes. Sure.
What is really interesting is that the county has asked for a city commissioner to sit on our new parking authority. And I've gone to all the meetings. And Daddy said, of course, Donna's on the parking commission. Daddy is on the parking commission. And now they want a city commissioner to be on the parking commission. I said, Daddy, you can't have this the Parks parking commission. I asked Kenneth to do this.
There you go.
Well, we're going to get to see St. Augustine earlier than you folks did tonight.
I guess you will. We'll be here till Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we're staying through for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just came over for the day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we
got to
go home and write. What we do for a living is
you're going to be busy now.
And so
you said that before, but what kind of books? What have you been writing?
We write thinking skills books. How to teach children how to think. Logical reasoning skills.
They sure need it.
I would hope.
How to help children teach themselves.
Right. Yeah,
teach children to question.
Yes.
Teach children good manners. Teach children good manners, for goodness sake.
Hey, here comes my man. Here comes my partner.
Who is this?
Doug Goss. Doug! Hey! That's the most hateful thing I can think of.
Sing? Cousin Thelma said you were going to come down and sing.
Sunday evening. They put us on Sunday after 5 o'clock so that I could finish over here in the craft area first. Okay, hello, dear.
How are you?
Are you just getting here?
Oh, got here just in time to go on stage.
Yeah, we heard him say,
you did
embarrass the human race.
You were with the gang just now?
He just endeared himself to Cousin Thelma forever for singing every single verse.
Except the first one.
Okay. You know Sandy Parks Black?
I know Sparks Black.
It isn't David.
Howard.
All right, I have it this time. I'll really
My
remember
father's
it.
Name's David.
All right, it was close. Donnie Gator. Do you know Donnie?
I'm a grandma.
Yeah.
My grandma.
That's not only claim to fame, but that's who she is. Women sit up here singing. We needed you.
Oh, what'd you sing?
She knows all the words.
I used to live at DuPont Center, but now I live in your city. I voted for
you.
Oh, boy.
Put them all together
because
so
I saw the branches.
That was Miss Triage. Did you see me in the window quilting during it was just before Palm Sunday,
right,
I believe it was.
Right.
Saw you on TV.
Oh,
yes.
You did?
I got you too, yeah. You want to come over and watch yourself?
Do I go where?
Out to St. Ambrose.
I didn't hear my name mentioned.
Nice quilting out at St. Ambrose.
I don't know who that is out there.
It's always in front of us here, and I'm really sorry.
Let me get up and get out of the way.
We're going to talk about ranching.
Don't worry, we'll talk about other things.
And then I sat there with that. Oh, let me get off here. I sat there with that palm straw hat on my knee for the whole entire interview and never even mentioned it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Well, I'll take care.
Let's see, this is Friday, May 27th.
Oh, you want me to take these things out?
Yeah, let's take this out. This is Peggy Bulger talking to Mr. Albert Triage and Mr. Solano. What's your first name, Mr.
Willis.
Willis Solano, about ranching in St. John's County. Let's put these out and then I can see, because I'm a great one to interview because I know nothing about it. Which means I can find out everything. Oh, and your whips. Yeah, now that I know.
I have two of them. You want Willis to have one? He can have one. Let him have one.
Okay. Well, Mr. Trei, there's a lot of things on stage here. First of all, can you tell me what some of these implements are that you use in your work?
Well, those are my spurs that I use to put on my heels to make the horse move faster and so on.
Uh-huh.
This is a pair of nose tones that fits in the cow's nose like that to pull the head up to give them medicine when you're giving them a liquid medicine. And that's a liquid gun right there to give it with.
That's what you give them medicine with?
This gun holds six ounces. See that ounce right there? You can give them as many ounces as the medicine requires for them to go put that in the mouth. And you first of all, put those nose cones in the nose and hold the head up, and then if you want, that's a 6 ounce gun. If you want to give them a full 6 ounces, you can do it with that, or you want to give them 1, 2, or 3 ounces, you can do it with that.
Do most ranchers do this themselves, or do they go to the vet?
Most of them. It's got any amount of cattle do it yourself.
It costs too much to go to the vet.
Oh, the vet'll kill you.
Really?
Oh, they're so high. And then some of it is given with a liquid injector, a needle. I mean, they inject it, but this is my remedy, but we can do it with a needle.
Mm-hmm.
And this here, I think I explained what this to you.
Yeah.
That's what they call a masculator. That's what you castrate them without a knife. I mean, you don't use a knife with that.
Right, and that keeps the screw worms from getting into the calves?
Well, you started, when we did have. We don't have screw worms anymore.
How did you get rid of the screw worms?
The government.
Government got
did
rid
it. They sure did.
They had a sterile fly that turned loose all over the area.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was the screw worm was actually a fly?
Oh, yeah.
They laid the eggs.
Uh-huh.
The fly laid the eggs, and then it hatched.
Oh, I see. And they hatched in.
Yeah, the maggot.
Did you all lose cattle with that, pretty much?
Well, some,
If you wouldn't treat them.
Mm-hmm. Was that a problem just in Florida, or was that all over the South?
It
came from Texas, really, I think.
Texas. Georgia, everywhere had them at the time, but they eliminated them, did away with them.
What's the difference, would you say, between ranching in Florida and ranching in someplace like Texas? Is there a difference?
I don't think, I haven't been to Texas, but I don't think it's any different other than now everything. Years ago, when it was open range, before we had a fence law, cattle just roamed at large. Everybody that had a little farm, like a corn patch or whatnot, and any kind of a farm, they had to fence it off to keep the cattle from going out, and the cattle roamed at large. But then when the fence law came in effect, we had to build fences to put the cattle under fences, which is the better way now. The old-time people couldn't see it back when they was wanting it that way.
Yeah.
But it's much better now that we've got the cattle under fence and whatnot. We can look after them better and so on. Used to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to get killed bad on the highway and killed many people, too, running into them at night.
Oh, when did it become not open range in Florida?
I can't exactly remember the year, but I believe it was back in the days, if you remember, when we had Governor Fuller Warren.
Yeah.
Fuller Warren was governor. I think it went through when he was governor.
Yeah.
You remember the year, Willis? I think Fuller Warren was the governor.
I don't remember the year, no.
I don't remember the year that it
Durant was still in office when it happened.
Uh-huh.
And that was before we went in service. That must have been 40, must have been before the war.
Did you all know each other growing up?
Sure.
First cousin.
First cousins.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
His mother and my mother were sisters.
Oh, so you've grown up together and probably...
Sure, worked together.
Worked together?
Sure have.
And did you ever, did you know right from the beginning that you wanted to be like farmers and ranchers? Is that...
Well, I did. I can't speak for Willis but when I was a little boy, I always wanted to be a cowboy, and I can remember the day when I don't suppose I was over 4 years old. I can remember back that far. My daddy used to pick me up and put me up on the horse, and way back in them days, he would ride the saddle and he'd fix a bag or something behind the saddle, but I'd pull onto his shirt and ride with him all day. Oh my God, I'd double ride the horse together and all. But as time went on, I guess Willis did the same thing back when he was a little fella. But Willis, his dad and mother both had cattle. And they sold them out when the fence law come in effect. Yeah, didn't.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't build no fence. They sold them when the fence law came in effect. And my folks did the same thing, other than, well, I kept a few back on about that time. But it's just been something all our grandfathers from both sides, forefathers and grandmothers and so on, always was in the cattle business. All my old great uncles and so on, way back far as I can remember, many generations was that's how they made their living, as cattle and hogs and such as that.
So you kind of had that in your blood, I guess. You probably knew that bread you wanted
in us, that's right. And another thing, way back yonder, people asked me this years back, how did the old-time people ever make a living? Well, the way they made the living was they had these cattle, and they used to pen the cattle for the fertilizer to plant. And the main crop was sugar cane, sweet potatoes, corn, and such as that. And they would go out, and I believe if I remember right, this was on about the second Sunday in March, that back in them days, the weather was starting to get warmer, and they'd burn the wire grass woods off, and the cattle, the grass would come up, and they would pen these cattle, maybe, I would say, 2 or 3 acres, and after they penned them on that for several nights, say maybe a week or 2 weeks, that's my, they'd move them over onto another area. And then they would take a plow and a horse and turn that fertilizer under the ground. And, they raised the most beautiful corn and sweet potato and stuff here, which didn't cost them anything. They didn't have to buy no fertilizer. Well, on top of that, then they had their own meat. And there was places around the country that had a little grits mill, and they'd make cornmeal and grits and such as that. And they would go to town back then, the old time people, about once maybe a month sometimes, and get flour, some flour and sugar and a few things that they needed. But
they didn't need any money.
They didn't need
any
money.
They took sweet potatoes and traded them for groceries. That's what they done.
That's right. They used to and eggs. They had chickens, and they fed the chickens a corn. That's all the chickens ate was corn. They cut eggs. I knew many a time I seen my mother and dad go to town on a Saturday with a basket of eggs to a grocery store, and they would buy all the groceries we needed for our family, and still got a little piece
money back.
They'd bring some money home with them. And nowadays, you couldn't care. That box of eggs right there wouldn't buy you much nowadays.
Incredible. That's wonderful. Well, how did potatoes get to be such a big crop in your area? When I went there, I couldn't know Mr. Solano, you've raised potatoes, and a lot of people raise potatoes in your area. How did that
19,000 acres, I think, Tri-County.
How did that happen?
It started from scratch, I guess, and they just
built it up until they got more
buyers coming in, and it just got to be a Tri-County area, is what they call it. And every year, buyers will come.
It's noted, is the land particularly good for potatoes? Is that...
in that area, yeah. And get water going well.
And then another,
irrigate with.
Another source they had way back years ago when I was a boy, they used to hunt.
Do you need Mary? I'm tape recording.
My uncles and my dad and all of them, they used to deer hunt and kill the deer, and at that time there was a big hotel in St. Augustine, and the Yankees used to come and they used to sell the quarters of venison, and also they killed quail, and they'd carry them over there and sell them to that hotel, And they made pretty good money. Back in them days, it was good money.
You could.
Which now, it wouldn't be enough for Coca-Cola money nowadays.
Uh-huh.
But back in them days, they made money, made a living out of it, doing such and such.
Well, how many...
And there wasn't no such a thing as a law or a game warden or nothing like that back then.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know now with the gophers, like we'll be cooking gopher stew tomorrow, I know that there's a law that you can only get so many gophers
oh, yeah,
per year.
Oh, yeah, five per person.
Five per person.
Yeah,
per day. I think it's
five. And it's a closed area after March the 1st, March the 30th.
Well, this
you
is
can't get them, and it's closed now.
This is the month they late. And this
that's
month
right.
in May.
March, and April, May, and June.
I don't know whether they get them next month or the month after.
3 months is closed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then they'll start, just like gator with gator tail. That used to be
mm-hmm.
a big thing, and now it's not. Well, how many acres do you have, Mr. Tree? I own
40 acres, tell you the truth. I have 20 in cow pasture, which is just a few around my house.
Uh-huh.
And then... there's 20 acres in potatoes, which I made a deal with a friend of mine on a cow pasture where I run some old cattle, and he plants that in potatoes.
Uh-huh.
So Mr. Slana plants
quite
an
acre.
I got 75 acres of potatoes.
75 uh-huh. acres of potatoes, and that will, if your crop is good, will that be enough to do pretty well for the year?
We've been living off it for a while, but, you
wonderful.
Know, but you can't live high on the hog, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but if you're at least you're able to really make a living at it, which
so
is
far
terrific.
So
right.
far you have, but if you get a good crop.
And with the cattle raising, has it been getting tougher to raise cattle, or do you think it's even or?
Well, it's just like any and everything else, there's ups and downs in it, ups and downs. Now the farmers had a bad lick this year with the water. We had wet, and some of the potatoes rotted when they first planted them. So I told a farmer the other day, he was feeding my cows cold potatoes now. I get them from the grader. I said, you complaining and crying about your potato crop? I said, it's hurt me just as bad as it has hurt you. He says, well, if it hurts you bad as it has the farmers, you are hurting sapsuck. I said, well, I am a hurting sapsuck.
I know.
I lost several cattle this past spring, but it's just not intended for everything to be a bed of roses all
mm-hmm.
the time. I've seen it before, ups and downs. I've lost cattle before, but I've got a big crop of calves, which I'm hoping that's going to bring me out and help me.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost me a lot to keep them through the winter. I fed them, oh my goodness, the hay. Many thousands of bales of hay.
Hi, Mary. Come on over. We're talking.
Hey,
now, look, now, just
talking about ranching and farming.
Seen you all day.
Everyone's. Oh, Mary, can I have a bite? I'm dying.
Now look at that.
Hey.
Oh,
she's
right.
been off playing hooky all day.
Oh, I've been at the beach.
At the beach. There you go.
Do you believe this?
This is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's going right up here.
Mm-hmm.
Pammy's hats look so good, but you know what? Nancy wants the one I want.
Oh, you both want the same hat?
Yeah, but
you're
you
gonna
have first dibs on it. Is this, are you taping?
Mm-hmm. We're talking about cattle and stuff. I thought we'd just do that for just a little bit because when we stop, there'll be time to pick up for the day and do all that.
I've got to go on back. It's nice to see you.
Good,
okay.
good to see you.
You'll be up tomorrow for a little bit, won't you, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to try the gopher stew. The Menorcan fish chowder, what we're doing is we're putting everything in the participants' lounge.
Oh, good.
For participants to eat, because we can't give away. Did the health man come down to your area?
Everybody approved everything. We had possum down there today, and it was so good. You know what I ate? I had the possum chin.
The chin. Oh.
Yeah. But it was good. It was so good. Yeah, everything was approved down there. I know that your mama told me, and I was real shocked because of our area.
Well, maybe he would have approved ours. I don't know.
So we haven't had any problem. We've been giving things away. And, you know, like a whole bunch of people, about 15 people ate possum with us when it was done. We all sat down and ate.
No, I think actually it works well that we put it in the participants area because as it was, it got eaten up real quick. Uh-huh. Okay, we'll see you. Well, I noticed you both know how to crack a whip. How long did it take you to learn how to do that?
Don't take long.
When we was little boys, we raised up with them in our hand. I know
really?
I was, and he probably was,
you
too.
Crack your neck two or three times before you get on to it. But no.
There was a few men here today just knew that they could crack them. But I watched them when they got out. You know, I was feeling sorry for them to start with because you can hit back your head or and whip around and hit your knife and it'll blind you too.
Yeah.
There were several of those school children came there and they got by the handle. They wanted to get out and try. I said, no. I said, don't do that.
I seen that right there. Take a cow and take the hide right off of them.
I mean
the hair, not the hide, but it'll cut
it'll split the hide. It'll split the hide. If you draw it hard down on a cow, you can split the hide.
And it show you what a lick that thing will do. It hits you.
Years ago.
And they're strong cows. It's thick. It will.
Years ago when we used to drive cattle all day long and have drove them from the same herd of cattle, bunch them up and move them from one county into another, these big old horse flies, which is about that side of big old brown, they call them horse flies, but they get on cows' backs and they just suck the blood out. And I've had it down to where, just using the whip, had one in my hand all the time, I take my whip, and if I miss that fly, which wouldn't hurt, but I wouldn't draw it hard enough to hurt the cow too bad, but if I missed it the first lick, I could see where that, I could hit close to it, the next lick, I could split that horse fly right off of that cow, kill that horse fly.
Oh my
God. If I had my eye set on something, I could take and throw it. It takes a good balanced whip to do that, and you've got to be in practice too. I'm out of practice now. I haven't used a whip. I use a whip a little bit, painting my cows, but that's very rarely.
When you would drive your cows and use the whips, though, you don't try to hit the cows. You try to just crack and make the noise over their heads.
Well,
is that what you try
to
do?
Yeah, but when
it keeps them moving too.
Yeah, when some of them get ornery, or like an old bull or a old fighting cow, if you take and crack him on the nose with that thing, it'll change their mind. And another thing, if you pin on a herd of cattle, so if you got 100 head up there trying to go in a gate, sometimes they'll get to milling on you like that and wanting to come back. And you can take that whip and crack it a few times like that to them, and they'll get straightened out after I'm going in that pen. Now, another thing, the cow dog plays the biggest part in our cow fight. I'd rather have, I was telling that, I guess he was a news reporter doing that right a while ago, one good cow dog I'd rather have than two men with me without a dog. One good dog is worth for two men. That dog, when you're pinning that bunch of cattle, he's moving like they'll be standing right there waiting. If a cow breaks that bunch and comes back by you, all you got to do is just tell that dog to get him, and that dog will bring him, put him back in that bunch.
How do you train a dog to do that?
Well, it's not too easy. It takes quite a bit of training and working with him. I was telling him a while ago, I had one dog. I've had many good dogs. But I had one particular dog that was bad about catching, getting them by the end of the nose or even by the ear. I worked her under a muzzle. And that dog was so well trained, if a cow went off in a swamp like that there when you was driving them, if it was an old ornery bull or a mean cow, I had the muzzle on her, sick her on, she'd go in there and bait that cow a little bit, but you'd hear a hush. She would listen for me whistle or holler at her. She'd come out of there, just see him come up, and she'd jump up right beside of my leg, put her front feet up there, and I'd unsnap that muzzle off her, and I'd say, go ahead, and she'd go on back. And when you came out then,
I'm telling you. Would you all like one?
Sean would give
it
to
her. Oh, I'll get one later.
Yeah.
No.
I'll go back.
Go on, take it.
Would you like
No, thanks. I just had
it. You take mine. I ain't drank but I can swallow, and I won't have to come back over here.
We can bring Willis one back.
I'll split this
one with Willis.
I just had one when I came. I don't want it.
It was a wonderful thing to see. When that doe went back in that swamp, that animal, regardless of the size, he'd come out of there, and a lot of times she'd be hanging on the end of his nose. Sometimes he'd hit the ridge. All I'd have to do is holler out, and she'd drop off, and that cow come in the bunch. Never tried it no more. Wouldn't go back. And I'd holler at her again and talk to her. She'd come right on back and jump up there and put her feet on my leg, and I'd snap the muzzle back on her head. You wouldn't think that they were going to want to put that muzzle back on, but she was just that well-trained, and you could speak to her just like I'm talking now. Just that easy-headed. She was one of the nicest dogs, I guess, I ever owned.
Mm-hmm. And how many dogs do you have now?
I have...
Too many?
I have six in the pen, but I have four supposed to be cow dogs.
Uh-huh.
But they're not... one of them is a pretty good cow dog, but they're not as good as I have had because I don't use them. and you need to use a dog to keep them in shape and practice, but I don't have that much work, and if I did have the work, I couldn't do it.
Right. I know Mr. McCullough was telling me once that a good cow dog will die for you, you know, I mean,
right,
sometimes
right.
they have to, because...
Wasn't he supposed to come?
He was supposed to, but I called him Saturday night. He's sick, and then he's working. He tries to work every day, the poor old fella. He's really not able to work like he does. But he told me Saturday night that he might get over here Sunday. He might try and come Sunday, but I don't look for him to come.
No, I don't think so. He's got bad emphysema.
But a good cow dog is no valuation term. They just, there's no valuation. In other words, what you have to pay somebody for a day's work now, it's cheaper to feed a good dog.
That's right.
I lost a cow last week, speaking about veterinary. This cow seemingly was in pretty good shape. She had a right nice calf, and I saw Sunday, and she was feeding good, healthy. I went back out there Monday morning, I saw laying down, and she couldn't get up. So I called the vet, and he told me, he said, Albert, he said, I'll come and help you if you think I can help you. But he says, you know the situation about as good as I do. He said, you have a 50-50 chance. I said, well, look, she's such a nice cow, a young cow. He said, now you're going to be looking at $7,500. I said, I realize that. I said, well, come on. Well, he came. We gave her a bottle of